This conference is being recorded.
And welcome to that podcast.
Yes. I was listening to Stuart Wilde. I almost forgot to call in.
Yeah, you should probably be receiving my text about now saying that I'm on and having a clue as to what to type.
I'm sorry, what?
And don't have a clue what to type in order to make it record. But don't tell me now. Tell me afterward. Yeah.
Yeah. Wise guy, eh?
Oh, you want to hear a wise guy? Here's a wise guy. I'm missing out on dinner with Bill and Shirley to be on this podcast.
I'm sorry, what?
I'm missing out on dinner with Bill and Shirley to be on this podcast.
Well, dang darn. Yeah, I just got done delivering. I'm headed to the tank wash now to get rid of my trailer.
Woo-hoo.
I only have like 5 hours I can work tomorrow. So I may just stay here in Denver till Sunday.
All right. Oh, so that means you'll be here late Monday?
Perhaps, yeah.
Because they might give you a delivery on the way.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, no, I won't have a delivery.
No.
It's just that I'm out of hours, my logbook.
Ah, okay. So you'll have to deadhead from there to here.
I am I'm deadheading to Kansas City. Okay, where's this tank wash? I think it said it was here.
Your closest tank wash is in Tennessee, Memphis.
Yeah, no. I mean, there's supposed to be a tank wash here. I was going to drop my trailer so I don't have to deal with it for the next whatever. And I can't find it. Can I turn around
here? And of course, they'll make you deal with it.
I can turn around here. I probably just passed it. So anyways, hello and welcome to the DD&D podcast. DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com, where we talk about everything but Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Certainly.
All right. That noise you hear in the background, folks, if you happen to be listening, is me driving around on frozen ground on our piece of land here over just north of Stockton, Missouri.
Stockton.
I thought I heard
somebody in the background.
Hello, listener. Announce yourself. Or just
maybe.
Listen if you like.
I guess we don't have another caller yet.
Oh, well.
Yeah, so you know who Stuart Wilde is?
Say that again?
Do you know who Stuart Wilde is?
You know, off the top of my head, no, I do not.
Oh, okay.
Well, what's he about?
Well, he definitely is about some wild stuff. He definitely is living up to his last name. The first audio, well, it was a video, but I turned it into audio, was, you know, about freeing your mind and being successful, not just successful like money, but just successful in life, period, blah, blah, blah.
Right, okay.
And he was really talking about Taoism. He really fell in love with Taoism, the Tao philosophy, because of its simplicity for the most part.
Right. I have to admit, I'm pretty ignorant. The only thing I know about Taoism is what they taught me in grade school. And if it's anything like that, I would want to stay away from it as much as possible. But, you know, hey, I learned it in grade school. And I've since learned that much of the stuff they taught me in grade school is completely off. So maybe I should take a better look at it.
Yeah, I don't know. Son of a gun, where is that place? Oh, well. Anyhow, I guess I should have went straight.
Yes, the one route to the desert, completely lost.
Completely.
Yes, through the desert, which is full of trees and water and brooks and wildlife. But it's dry and arid here. There are two locations, you know. I'm on the Ozark Plateau, where it's cold and frozen at the moment. And Kano is off in Never Never Land, I guess. I don't know. Where exactly are you?
I'm in Denver, where I'm going to park. I was trying to find the stinking tank wash, so I wouldn't have to worry about dropping the trailer because it's a hazmat trailer.
Hey, now, watch those foul words. No more stinking and no more has here.
Right, stinking has. But looks like I'm going to be, I don't know, it's just fuel oil. Probably be okay with it being, yeah. Anyway.
Well, I'm trying to figure that out. Do you want me to go into my diatribe on CES and other alternatives?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I have to admit, I failed in two of my assignments this week. One was I was supposed to find the title of that book, my favorite herb and medicine book for gathering food in the wild. It's a beautiful book. It breaks things down by season and by terrain. And it gives you a clue of what to look for, because you won't be able to find it in its proper harvesting season. You need to know what it looks like ahead of time. So it'll tell you, if something's flowering now, you're going to harvest it later. It'll tell you to look for that plant. And so, hopefully I don't break my promise. I have the title of that book next week. My other failure was I was supposed to phone up on my knowledge of alternative currencies. Now, we've got a friend out here who he started CES, that's Community Exchange Systems, in our area. One's called the Ozark Community Exchange System, and the other one is Cedar County Community Exchange System. And Kato, correct me, because you'll probably remember better than me. Would that be communityexchangesystem.org and CES.org?
I think it's community-exchange.org.
Community-exchange.org.
Correct. But if you Google CES, Community Exchange System, it'll come up.
Right.
But you got to Google both, CES, Community Exchange System, and it'll come up no problem, like the first or second search.
Dennis, sometimes you'll see the emblem. It looks like a green and blue globe, but if you look carefully, those aren't land masses. Those are hands reaching around the outside of the circle.
Hand masses.
Yeah, hand masses. Yeah, no, but it's, you know, basically, you know, you're giving each other a hand. All right, so why is it called Community Exchange? It's a system by which you give each other credit for whatever you've done for each other, right? So instead of paying somebody to come out and mow your lawn, some guy will come out, he'll mow your lawn, and you give him your account number after you've signed up for DES, and he will debit your account for his labor and credit his own. And later on, maybe you'll fix somebody's plumbing, and they'll give you their account number, and you'll debit their account and credit yours. And the objective of all members is to keep their balance as close to zero as possible while keeping everybody else busy, all right? So maybe you've got a thrift store where you're willing to accept community exchange system credits, and so you might sell used clothes or various items that, you know, that you have in your thrift store, and somebody else will come out and do your lawn work or work on your roof or if your community has enough people in the system, you know, basically you can go make purchases as well. And it looks like somebody just got picked up by an ambulance, or is about to.
Well, okay. Here's a great example. Basically, we're working on an off-grid organic farm and retreat.
Yeah.
And so basically, we offer and accept CES. So if somebody wants to come and help us on our land, you know, build or plant or harvest or whatever, we will pay them for their time in CES credits.
All right. Would
then,
you put us
in return, they can use our products and or services for CES credits. So we have, you know, we can do, well, like David Ray, he's like a farmhand, so he can do farm work around the community for CES. And then, you know, I'm a truck driver, so I can, you know, do heavy equipment and transportation work within our community for CES. Then we will be having products like herbs, essential oils, other things that the community will need that the community doesn't offer in our store once we get our store built, and we'll be selling that for CES.
Right. And basically, because you're only trading value for value, basically you're just trading somebody else's effort for your effort. It may not
right.
be the person you're directly doing business with at the moment, but you'll get somebody else's effort in exchange. And so there's really no money trading hands. You're just, the CES system is just a way of keeping a tally of what you owe the community or what the community owes you. And you try to keep those close to zero. You don't really want to accumulate a lot of credits, and you also don't want to accumulate a lot of negative credit. But it's okay to go negative, you know. As a matter of fact, if you demonstrate a pretty good ability to move credits through you, your credit rating would increase, and you might get to the point where somebody could come out and build a house for you just purely on CES, because you'd be trusted to pay it back because you've already demonstrated that you already do pay it back. So, and, you know, et cetera. All right. Now, this is where I should have done my homework, because I should have an exact name for people to look up. But here in the United States, there's communities that are using similar systems, not just a community exchange system, but in Ithaca, I believe it's in New York, there is a time bank running, which is very similar, all right? And they have notes or coupons that they issue that that the locals use in and around the Ithaca area, all right? Now, one of the nice things about these community exchange notes or the local time bank services that are out there is it tends to keep the funds local. So you don't have somebody sucking the community dry of its resources, all right?
Like the New World Order.
Yeah, so like around here, there's a lot of walnuts that grow around here, and they tend to get sent out of the area rather than eaten locally, which is fine to some degree, but nobody local really gathers walnuts for themselves because they don't have a means of processing them. But if you were using something like community exchange notes community exchange credits to get things done, we might be able to talk the local processing plant to accept some of those notes and they would sell some of their walnuts that were gathered right here to the locals, you know, who normally couldn't afford them because they're so high priced. Now, there was something in particular you wanted me to talk about here on the so that you could study it later. Do you remember exactly what that was concerning the community exchange notes?
Not really. I mean, basically what we were talking about CES, and we were talking about I don't remember what we were talking about. All I remember is
a few notes. So let me see if I can find them. Okay, yeah, here's what I was supposed to study. I was supposed to look up what the purposes of money were. A couple of them I know of is money is used for a store of wealth and to facilitate trade. And it actually has a whole slew of purposes it's used for. And some of them contradict each other. And because I didn't study up to see what they are, I can't tell you what the actual contradictions are. But things like community exchange system, it isn't geared toward storing wealth. It's geared toward facilitating trade. You know, so if you're sitting at home and nobody will hire you because they don't have the money to hire you, something like community exchange system would allow you to be hired by somebody and be credited for your effort, and they don't necessarily have to have any savings in order to hire you, all right? And you still get credited, all right? So now they'll be in debt to the community because they'll have a negative balance, but as long as they are making an effort to go out and do things for other people that they get credited for, then their balance will come back to zero, and hopefully you'll be able to get something done for the efforts that you've done. Well, you know, there's enough people in the system, you will. I think the critical mass on a community exchange system is about 400 people. It could be more than that, but I think that's about the critical mass.
What do you mean by critical mass?
Well, if all you've got is one guy who will do farm work and some people who cook cookies and maybe like, you know, a dozen people on the system, chances are you're not going to find somebody on the system to spend your credits on a regular basis. And so that's going to stagnate the system, all right? You're going to end up with somebody earning credits and somebody being in debt for credits and no way of balancing the books, all right? But you get enough people on the system, and eventually there's going to be some skill that somebody in the system is going to want from you.
Right.
Now, it might be it takes some creativity on your part. Maybe you're not a good web designer, but you know enough that some housewife might find your service valuable enough to pay for, but she couldn't afford to buy an IT, you know, an information technology professional to do her job, okay? She just wants to do a better job on her, what's it called now? They've got this, I stay away from it, to be honest, but a lot of people, they bookmark all their favorite sites and put it up for everybody else to look up. And I'm trying to think what that's called. It's not Facebook, and it's not Twitter. But yeah, Twitter too. I mean, you know, maybe they don't know how to use Twitter so well, and they need somebody to show them, all right? Well, maybe you're not a fully licensed information technology, you know, technician, but maybe you know enough to be able to navigate around the web, and so you can go over and help them, and they'd credit you for that. So you might have to be a little creative about the way you present things that you could do, all right? And, you know, people start hiring you for a certain thing. Next thing you know, word gets around just what your skill level is and whether it's worth it or not to hire you, and you find out that you actually have a skill that the community could use, you know? So, I mean, you might be the best faucet installer in the area, you know, or the best doorknob fixer or whatever, you know. It's not really a job description, but, you know, somebody might be willing to credit you for coming out and doing that. So.
Chicken chaser.
The what now?
A professional chicken chaser. Goat herder. There you go.
Goat herd. Yeah, professional goat herd. Which, by the way, is one of the jobs I'm doing right now. I'm keeping an eye on the neighbors, on my friend's goats. So I'm chasing my goats and his goats both at the same time, and that's kind of fun, actually. Hope you don't hear too much of the sarcasm in my voice.
Sarcasm? What's that?
Yeah.
Yes, I did that yesterday, I think it was. My friend here in Denver sent me a text asking me if I wanted to watch the game between New England Patriots and Denver Broncos, and I'm like, I texted him back and said, who are they? He's not responded. And I was supposed to go visit him.
Blasphemy! You don't know what the local hockey teams are, or is that baseball, or football? What is
football.
It? Is it football?
Yeah. I knew who they were, but, you know, it's all good.
Hey, I'm still waiting for the game of the Kings versus the Royals.
The who versus the who?
Kansas City Kings versus the Kansas City Royals? I don't know.
There's no such thing.
There's no such thing? No, there used to be.
Not the Kings, the Royals. There's the Royals. I don't know who the Kings are.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was something when I was back in a kid or something. Or maybe I just heard Royals wrong or something. I don't know.
Well, you got Royals, which is baseball. Chiefs, which is football. The Jackasses, which is hockey. I'm sorry, the Mules. Missouri Mules. You know, yeah, we were, when I was in Independence, when they were doing the voting on that, and I don't remember all the different animals that they were picking from, but I was like, they better not pick the mules. That's all I said, you know. I was like, they better not pick the mules because everybody's going to go around calling us a bunch of jackasses. Sure enough,
well,
they picked the
aren't you a jackass?
Yeah. Sure enough, they picked the freaking mules. Dumbasses. I mean, jackasses.
Well, you know,
so
there's
anyway.
A reason why it's called the Show Me State.
Right. So anyways, so you got the mules. Mizzou Tigers. I don't know the rest. I don't really keep track because I don't watch any of that garbage anymore. I mean, I used to when I was a kid, but, you know, now I've grown up and moved on to better, you know, more constructive things instead of wasting my time on useless garbage.
Well, all I know is even as a kid, I didn't pay attention to that stuff. And I thought people were nuts for watching grown men playing and paying them $1 million salaries, and that's back when I was a kid, you know.
Well, that goes to our other subject that we like to talk about, the increase in the size of Cusick's extended reach and power of government. All this stuff is a distraction. It's designed to keep people distracted so the New World Order can increase the size, the cost, extend the reach, and the power of government. And nobody's paying attention because they're too busy paying attention to their favorite football player or whoever the heck.
Right. And ask your friendly neighborhood sports fan if they're a communist. And they'll say, well, of course not. I'm against communism. Like, really? What about that stadium that your favorite team plays in? That was all paid for by communism.
True.
You know, it's all stolen funds, you know, spent on something that, you know.
Right. Okay. And that kind of takes us back to CES. You know, here we're, you know, the New World Order is taxing us over 50% of our income, spending our tax dollars on useless garbage that most of us don't even really want. And what do we have to show for it? Nothing. You know, or very little. Our families are starving or struggling to have a decent lifestyle, the whole nine yards. And CES is kind of like an off-grid exchange, means of exchange. It's like a time bank where you only pay a 4% interest or tax, whatever you want to call it, to pay the administrator for doing his or her job. So, and other than that, everybody gets, you know, paid through CES, like say, okay, oh, well, we need roads built. Well, okay, fine. The road crew goes out and they build the road. Well, they get paid for building the road by CES. They're automatically paid from the community. Now, how that would work, my theory is, okay, the part of the road that's in front of you, you pay for. And the part of the road that's in front of the neighbor, they pay for. And so on and so forth. Kind of like Silk Road. Everybody in the community pays for their section of road. The road crew comes out, builds the road, they get paid. You have a deficit of credits. They have a or what is not really a deficit, what was it? You have a debit, they have a credit, okay? And so they divvy up their credits to all their people for their work, and everybody gets paid. Now, you have a debit for the road that was built in front of you, but it's not that much. It's not like having to pay 50% of your income to the New World Order to do whatever they deem fit with it. This way, you choose where your money goes. The roads need to be built? Okay, fine. I'll pay for the part in front of my house. You pay for the part in front of your house. And
right. And the other aspect of that is you then decide how good a road you want in front of your house.
That's
you
true,
know?
Too.
You know, if gravel's good enough for you, you know, you'd pay gravel. Quite frankly, your road costs would drop. I mean, this fallacy that you need the government in order to bring the price down to a reasonable level. Well, the truth is, they add a lot of fluff to things, you know. So
well, but I got a rebuttal for your gravel thing. Okay, if we're on a, you know, like Missouri 39.
Yes.
We can't have gravel in front of our road or in front of our house because the neighbors get pissed off because all of a sudden they're going from pavement to gravel, pavement to gravel, pavement to gravel, pavement to gravel. That would suck. There's got to be some sort of, there has to be some sort of regulation, just not too much.
Well, see, that's another thing. There are businesses in Stockton who have a vested interest in 39 and 32 being paved.
True, and we would be one of them.
We would be one of them, all right? It would be their investment to make sure that that road is well cared for. Now, granted, they might not be able to afford that, and so they might pick up and leave. So the community would have to decide how valuable that business is to them so that they would chip in additional monies to make sure that road stayed paved. All right? But it should all be voluntary. I really don't think there should be some sort of regulation for that. And on that point, I think you and I kind of disagree. But under our current system, if we expected that to happen, yeah, it would fall apart quickly. I think 39 would turn to gravel before they figured it out. All
right?
Right. It'd take a little while before them to get their heads on straight and say, you know, we really should have chipped in money to make sure 39 stayed paved. You know? And eventually get around to doing it again. But in the meantime, yeah, you're right about the current state of things. But that's not the way it should be done as far as I'm concerned.
But who are you?
Hey. Just like you, I'm a son of God. And my voice is equal to yours.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah, Stuart Wild talks about some pretty wild stuff, but part of what he talks about is basically what we, most of what he talks about is basically what we talk about, but to a level of extremity.
Extremity extremity or extreme?
Extreme. Sorry, I don't know how to talk.
Just teasing you.
Okay. Hey, I can laugh at myself. But yeah, Stuart Wilde, it's W-Y-L-D-E. I've been collecting his stuff. He's got some interest. I don't agree with him 100%, but he's got some interesting stuff. But he's out there. He's definitely like far left or far right field, whatever you want to call it. But he's in the outfield, for sure. But he does have some valid points. So he's worth looking into. He talks about a lot of things we talk about. I thought about even uploading some of his stuff to our website for our podcasting. But, because I'm sure he doesn't care about getting it out there, because he wants us to get it out there, you know, as long as we give him credit for what he's doing. But,
That's another issue. You talk about right-left dynamic, and I'll tell you, ask me if I'm right or left, and I'll tell you I'm neither.
Well, yeah, I'm moderate. I consider myself moderate or a central, centralist. I don't know, independent.
I'm not on that coin at all. I'm not heads or tails. I'm not on
right.
that coin. I'm not on the edge of that coin.
Yeah, I'm on the edge of the coin.
Yeah, I'm
getting ready to jump off, but I haven't jumped off yet.
Yeah. If you're contemplating jumping off, I think you're off the coin. But
I'm off the coin, all right.
You're off the coin, but you just haven't been able to get out of the system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Off the coin and off the rocker. But no, yeah, CES. Alternative means of exchange. We have gold standard, we have silver, we have CES, we have barter. What other types of means of exchange do they have out there?
Yeah, that was the last book I was reading on CES. A similar system to CES is called the talent system. CES started down in South Africa. I believe talent started either in South Africa or Northern Europe. I know, I'm trying to think what country it was. I think it was Belgium. They had a talent system that they were using. But it's interesting to see where these have been used. Some countries welcome it. Other countries is like, ooh, they're competing with the local currency. We have to shut it down. And it's like,
oh, yeah, that'd be our country.
Yeah, that'd be Uncle Sam. That's the reason why I think Ithaca is so interesting. If you look up Ithaca, they have a time bank where people just exchange their time. They don't even call it credits. It's like, you know, you work and earn so many hours, and somebody else works and earns so many hours. And, you know, if your skill is in high demand, you might charge 2 hours per hour. If your skill is not so in demand, you might charge half an hour an hour. And I know that sounds kind of, you know.
Half an hour an hour.
I know. Yeah, it sounds funny, but, you know. But, you know,
right.
it's you know, maybe you like sitting down in people's house and eating their food and watching their TV while their kids cry in the background. All right? So you might only credit them half an hour for every hour that you're there. Okay? So.
Right. At first I thought it was going to be more like Randy's philosophy. Randy's philosophy, our friend Randy, you know, he's like, well, why is your time more valuable than mine, and why is my time more valuable than yours? If I give you an hour worth of my labor, it should be worth the same as an hour of your labor. And therefore, you know, he believes in more of a time bank type of a solution, where it's maybe not a half an hour, or based on what you value your hour at,
right.
Just that it's an hour's worth an hour. And
right.
That's his theory, you know, that's his philosophy. An hour is worth 1 hour.
Yeah, and there's a point to his thinking, you know.
An hour of your life is worth an hour of my life. So.
True.
Maybe.
Well, you know, if we got more towards, like, the Ubuntu philosophy,
yeah,
we wouldn't really need money. We wouldn't need money, and we wouldn't need to worry about all this stuff anyway, so it was just everybody would have an abundance of everything, and we'd just be happy being happy.
You're going to have to explain Ubuntu.
What?
Yeah, you're going to have to explain it. There's going to be new people listening that didn't catch it the first time you mentioned it.
Well, basically, Ubuntu is basically where everybody in the community provides whatever it is they enjoy doing. So if you enjoy singing and dancing, doing entertainment, then you just provide it to the community for free. David Ray and I enjoy alternative health, growing food, producing alternative energy, theology, I do astrology, things like that. So those are the things that we enjoy doing, aromatherapy. So we would provide those things to the community because that's what we do and that's what we enjoy doing. And
what did the sheriff say when I said that I basically work for offerings?
I don't remember. But
it was like, who would be so crazy?
Well, yeah. Well, we got friends who do that too, like Jamie. But, you know, so yeah, everybody gives to the community what they enjoy doing, you know. So everybody's doing their passion, you know. So we got people who enjoy music who are really good at being musicians, you know, but they don't have to worry about starving and going out and getting a job to support their family. They can do what they love to do and provide that love and service to the community for free. And then they get back from the community all the things that they need, like a house, you know, like Alan, I don't know if the Amish exactly do this or not, but I was always under the impression that they did, so I'm going to use them as an example. But, like, within the Amish community, the way it used to be or the way it still is, or maybe it's just some fallacy that I was taught, but the Amish community, when, say, a couple got married within their community, the whole community would go out and help them build a house. And within a week or two or three, whatever it took, the whole community would come together, build them a house, and they would start a family together, you know, the couple. And that's basically what the Ubuntu philosophy is. We all come together as a community and help each other out as a community. So we get, you know, a young couple, they get married, they go, they want some land, they pick their piece of land. Nobody pays for anything because there's no money. So, you know, you find a nice piece of land that you want, nobody's occupying it and whatnot. Nobody's using it, and you like it, and you want to use it. So you go out, you pick your land, the community comes out, builds you a house, drills the water, the whole nine yards. Sets you up with solar panels or hooks you up to the grid because it's the community grid, not some grid that you got to, you know, spend buku bucks on. And then, boom, they're set up. They're ready to go. Now, they can explore their dreams. They can explore their passions. And they can give back to the community what it is that they have to offer, whether it's cooking, growing food, cleaning, building roads, whatever the case may be.
Right.
And if there's something that needs to be done.
I think you're somewhat right about the Amish as far as building that house as soon as, because they really do like to see their population increase. And so the sooner you can be in a house making babies, the happier the whole community is.
Sounds like polygamist.
Say what?
Sounds like the polygamists.
Well, yeah, actually, I think they're the same way, at least the ones near us. So I'm not going to name that because we don't want the feds to come down on them.
Oh. Well, they have the First Amendment right to their marriage beliefs. But anyways.
Well, yeah, sort of, but even the state of Missouri will come after them for it, so. Anyway. Yeah, I look at it as freedom of association.
Freedom
of
association.
Hey, did I lose you? Stay there.
Define freedom of association.
Well, you choose who you want to associate with. Uncle Sam would like to tell you it has to be him only.
Right. And you can't get married unless you sign a document saying that your marriage belongs to Uncle Sam. So you're marrying Uncle Sam also.
Yes. Yep. Yep. Basically, you're substituting your father in heaven or your father here on earth. Uncle Sam becomes your savior.
Right. Okay, so back to Ubuntu. So basically, where I was going with that was, okay, so everybody's giving to the community what it is that they love to do, all right? But that may not cover everything, you know? There may be things that need to be done in the community that are not getting done. So the community comes together and says, like our discussion that we have about church. The community comes together on Sunday and says, okay, this is what needs to be done within our community. Who would like to take care of these things that need to be done? And so people step forward to have the skills and have the gifts and the equipment to do those things, and they do it. It's like, I forgot the guy's name now, that was Michael Tellinger. That I learned about the Ubuntu from. He says if everybody in the community gives 3 hours a week to the community and does the work that our so-called New World Order government our so-called public servants are supposed to be doing, if everybody in the community comes together and gives 3 hours per week to do those things that need to be done, more stuff would get done than what we are currently getting done. Because the hours that the people that are giving to the community in that 1 week period is more than what our public servants give that whole week. And we got to pay them to do it, and it's not getting done. So that's the other thing, you know. So we can still get things done, like getting our roads built or getting other things done, like the local, whatever. I mean, what do we have in our community that the government provides
like
that
talking.
People... Okay, Lake Stockton. So what do they do? What do they do exactly? What's their job descriptions?
I couldn't say what all they are, but I can say some of the stuff they do. They maintain the bridge going across Lake Stockton, some of the parks. They maintain the dam itself. civil engineers.
Okay.
So
those people can still do their jobs if that's what they want to do.
Right.
And they would still not have to worry about anything because the community would provide everything that they need. Of course, then a thought just came to my head, what about fuel? You know?
Right.
If you want to travel, what if you want to travel? You want to go from this community to another community. Then how are you going to pay for your fuel? Because the other community may not recognize you. They may not be doing Ubuntu. So you will need some kind of currency or means of exchange.
Yeah, well, God provided for that. He called it gold and silver. But that's not being used around here. So you'd have to work with the local currency, you know, for lack of a better term. So, it kind of forces you into slavery. But, you know, then again, I've got a friend in the area who is very actively working on converting people's vehicles to char gas, which means anywhere you can get a hold of charcoal, you can run your car.
Well, yeah, what we need to do is be able to figure out how to, like, on Back to the Future, where he just opened up the garbage can and threw some stuff in the engine and took off. we could create engines that burn, you know, run on whatever, just, you know, wood. You just pull over, go out into the brush, scoop up some sticks, you know, drop them in your little gasifier and take off.
Well, okay, here you go. His name is Doug Breathow. He wrote a book called Make Smoke, Burn Smoke, all right? And one of the things he likes to do is he'll throw bits and pieces of plastic in with his charcoal because he says it actually brings up the efficiency of the engine. So when you burn plastic thoroughly, it's actually a good fuel. So, you know, and his system burns it very thoroughly. It doesn't leave any of those complex hydrocarbons. It cracks them completely. So,
well, plastic's a petroleum product anyways, right?
Yes, but it's a complex hydrocarbon. And to burn it efficiently, you have to completely crack it down into its basic components. And his system does that. So it comes out the back end of his system clean.
There you go. So he's the rocket scientist creating these things that we can use in the community to help us be more efficient. You know, we're going to be doing some rocket science on our own property, hopefully this year and next year. But we're going to be going, you know, we've already been exploring, and we're going to continue exploring all the different types of alternative energy and alternative fuels, like the wood gasification and whatnot. So we're going to be working.
I don't quite believe in the soda and baking soda.
Yeah,
but we're going to explore it.
Yeah, we're going to be working on different things like creating earth batteries, plasma batteries. I mean, there's got to be solutions out there because what was it, 25 years ago, I had this watch. I was a swimmer. I was on the swim team, the YMCA swim team and everything. So I swam a lot and all that stuff. But anyways, I had this watch, and I always made sure all my watches were waterproof, you know, good quality watches. I had this watch from Japan 25 years ago when I was a kid. And I just found it like 2 years ago or a year and a half ago, whatever it was. in my stuff. I got a whole bunch of boxes from my mom that she has had in storage all these years. And then I finally got them back, or whatever you want to call it. And I was going through them, and I found this watch that I had 25 years ago when I was a kid. It was so old that the plastic was falling apart on the watch. All right? But it still keeps time. The time is accurate. The date is accurate. It's one of those digital watches. So the date and time is accurate. It was off by 1 hour because of daylight savings of time. But then once daylight savings time goes into effect, I think in the fall, it's accurate again. You know? And it stayed accurate all these years, 25 years of working in a box, going through whatever kind of temperatures, climates, storage, wherever, who knows what. Of course, it's waterproof. But 25 years later, it's still working. And it's still keeping time, and it's still accurate. But we can't buy batteries today that will last more than a year. I don't even think they last that long.
Right.
So,
yeah, and I remember you finding that watch. That's pretty amazing. That it's pretty amazing it ran that long. You know?
Well, it was made in Japan. You know, back when the Japanese made super high quality stuff. I mean, I'm sure they still make high quality stuff, but you know, back
then.
Don't
be racist now. Don't blame the Japanese for that.
Yeah, I'm blaming the Japanese for doing a dang darn diddly good job, like the Germans, you know, have been known to do, and the Switzerland's been known to do, like we used to be known to do. Now we don't make quality nothing anymore. Everybody's got to have cheap, 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 you know, and nobody wants to buy, well, not nobody. I have a hard time getting customers because I believe in quality. I make and buy only the highest quality stuff, and people turn their noses up at it because it's too expensive. It's like they want to go get something that's cheap, and their brain doesn't work. You know, they don't realize that what they're buying is, you know, knockoff synthetic garbage. That's no good for them. But they're not looking at that. They're looking at, oh, this is lavender and this is lavender. And this is $2 and this is $10. I'm going to pick the $2 one. And it's not even the same thing. But anyways. Yeah, that's my rant. So anyways, one of our things that we want to do is we want to get back to quality. You know, build. Oh, well, I'm not going to be building watch batteries or anything like that, although I would love to if we had the resources. But, you know, building batteries that last. One YouTube video I was looking at was showing the differences between old car batteries and new car batteries, and why new car batteries won't last a couple of years, where the old car batteries used to last several years. And they were showing why. You know, the cells, or not really the cells, but these sheets of lead that are put inside these, what they call cells. Each, I guess, cell has sheets of lead and sheets of something else, and there's like three different types of material used in building a battery. And one of them is lead. And the lead that they used to use back, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago was thick, where the lead that we're using today in our batteries are like paper thin. You have to be really careful handling it because it'll break. And that's why our batteries don't last for very long anymore, because the lead breaks down because it's paper thin, where the old batteries used to last a long time because the lead was thicker. So if we could create, you know, we could find people who want to create high-quality batteries and within communities, you know, we can get things going back, you know, whatever. But my theory of creating plasma batteries, you won't even need all that garbage. All you need is a positive and a negative, and then fill the thing up with, not even full, just fill it up partially full with these ingredients, which are supposedly just household ingredients. Like, we got to do some more homework and do some experimenting on that.
Right.
But you can create these plasma batteries. You can create these plasma batteries.
I'm sorry.
Okay. You can take old batteries and just dump out the fluids, put in the new fluids, and they won't just last longer. They will create electricity. From what I've been watching on the videos of people, you know, creating these plasma generators, they call them, these things will produce up to like 50-some volts just in one battery. Or they're using soda bottles or water bottles. So just in one soda bottle, they're able to produce like 50-some volts of electricity. So you get a series of batteries together creating 50-some volts apiece. You can create your own 110 power just off a few batteries.
Yep.
That's my theory.
Well, yeah, I want to see these working. I want to see more details on it, because as described so far, it sounds to me like somebody's...
It sounds like poppycock.
Soda and baking soda aren't going to do that. You know, Sprite and baking soda. Yeah.
That was one guy's video. The other guy was using three different ingredients. So I'm not sure. We'll have to explore all the different videos.
Well, yeah, it could be that different solutions actually do act as better electrolytes, you know? It might be that we can get some electrolytes that are pretty cheap. They're very effective. You know?
Right.
And that could make all the difference in the world.
Yeah, we get good at making those. Then we can give back to the community. We just tell the community, hey, bring us your old batteries, and we'll clean them up and make plasma batteries out of them and give them back to you. And then everybody will have batteries in our community.
There you go.
They won't have to worry about.
Batteries that don't need to be charged, that generate their own electricity.
Yeah. Well, it still may need to be charged, but you won't have to worry about it dying whenever it's not being charged, because it'll be generating its own electricity.
Right,
so like, say,
it'd be self-charging battery.
Right, because, I mean, when you're drawing power from it, it's obviously one battery, depending on what kind of charge you're pulling from it, may not maintain that charge. But if you have, like, say it's in your car, okay, and you fire up the car, you go down the road, you're using a lot of electricity, so you're going to need something to charge that, so the alternator will come in handy for that. But then when you're sitting and Wi-Fiing or whatever, and you're using a low charge, that battery may maintain itself the entire duration. And if it doesn't, it'll maintain itself a whole lot longer than it would if you weren't using a plasma battery, if you were using just a regular battery. And then if you didn't, you know, you did kill the battery, all you got to do is let it sit there for a minute or a couple minutes and let it recharge. And then you can fire it up and take off.
Well, I'll be honest, I'm skeptical.
Well, of course, I'm skeptical too. Well, I'm not skeptical. I'm optimistic, but I don't know the formula, you know. I'm sure we can do it. We just have to figure out, we got to crack the code.
Okay.
And these YouTubers may not have given us the right code, but if we keep trying different things and blow up a couple things, we might finally find it. Hey, try mixing this with this. Boom! Whoa! That didn't work.
Yeah, our neighbor comes knock on our door and says, yeah, you're scaring our horses. Cut it out.
Yeah. But no, I mean, you know, we'd explore all the possible solutions and, you know, duplicate what other people are already doing. That'd be the safest bet, you know, and using, you know, scientific, analytical process, you know, like, okay, this is known to be not safe to mix with this, so we're not going to mix those two together, but we can mix these two together, so they're safe. Let's see what they do.
Yeah. Right. Like, look, hey, this one's some sort of green fog.
Well, again, in Earth batteries are interesting, too. I've been watching some videos on people creating Earth batteries.
Earth batteries are pretty straightforward. They use the natural electrolytes from the soil to generate electricity. You have two differential metals separated by earth. And as I understand, moist earth, but you've been telling me that you saw some videos where people were using dry earth, which that's something I'm skeptical on. But, you know, I'm willing to give it a shot and see if it works.
Well, the dry earth may only work for a certain amount of time. Then it may need moisture again to reactivate.
Yeah, that could be the case, but yeah.
And then one guy was using salt to bring up his amperage. He was like,
yeah.
he had high voltage without salt, but low amps. And so he added salt to the soil, and it brought up his amps.
That would make a lot of sense, because salt is an excellent electrolyte.
Okay. So, yeah, we'll be doing experiments like that as well and figuring out what works best and how to build something that's portable so that people can, you know, either come and buy our Earth batteries or come and learn how to build their own and, you know, whatnot, whatever.
I'll tell you what, we make some Earth batteries. There's going to be a number of scrap metals that we will not sell to the local scrap yard. Copper being one of them.
Right.
We'll be moving that stuff down and making big copper plates to stick in the ground.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's what we were talking about last week was the copper plates. Yeah, from what I understand, okay, the two metals are, well, I've seen different variations. I've seen where people had the two metals touching each other, and in others where the two metals were not touching each other. And they both work, but they work differently.
Yeah, I'd have to say the best way would be to not have them touching each other, being separated by an electrolyte. You want them to be joined via a light bulb or some load. Otherwise, you're just shorting them out, and the electricity would be flowing directly from one plate to the other without you ever using it.
Right, and if you don't have them insulated For example, okay, some people were using buckets or flower pots or like ice cube trays where the dirt was separated from the other dirt by an insulator, and then they had the dirt separating the two metals, and the dirt was the insulator. So the dirt was the insulator for the two metals, and then the plastic container that they were in was the insulator between the two dirts. So, but I've also seen where other people were not doing that. They were doing different metals. But
what you're talking about doesn't make sense to me. I don't see where it would work. But, you know, I do not know everything there is to know about the universe. I know what I was taught. I know what I've seen done.
Right. Well, that's basically what I'm doing is I'm telling you what I saw done. Here's what I'm thinking is there were other people that didn't have the plastic containers as insulators, but the metals were separated with long distances. So what I'm figuring is if you have the metals in the ground, but you don't have them in buckets, they have to be so many feet apart in order for them to work. If they're too close to each other, they'll ground each other out.
Right. There'd be direct conduction between them. That makes sense.
But if they are too close to each other, then you would have to add the plastic insulator to keep the two dirts separate. So if you wanted to build an earth battery indoors, you would do it that way. Where if you wanted to turn like a piece of property into a giant earth battery, then you could do it by spacing your metals out so many feet apart in order to have your conductors. But
right.
From what I saw, as far as other people's experiments, was that the first conductor only creates like 7 volts. And the second conductor, you would think, would create 7 volts also. And it will by itself. But when you connect them together, they only create 8 volts.
So, in series or parallel?
In series. So, if you were to, you know, hook all of those up to a regular battery, trying to charge a battery, you would want them all hooked up separately, not in series. If you have them in series, they're only raising the volt 1 volt per section, and not even really 1 volt. It was like almost a volt. But I don't know. Like I said, we'll have to do some experimenting. So that's one of the things that we're going to be doing on our property in DD&D. Our DD&D property.
Demented Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah. Actually, DD&D originally stands for, or actually, DD&D stands for David, David, and David. DD&D is a collective, is basically, the idea for DD&D is a collection of ideas between the three Davids. But one of the Davids, when I came up with DD&D, started calling us Demented Dungeons and Dragons. That's where we got the name from.
Yes.
But we're all Davids. That's why I don't go by David. I go by Kano. Too many dang darn diddly Davids running around.
Which brings us to
DD&D could also stand for dang darn diddly. I wonder if that .com is available. Probably not.
Welcome to the Ding Dong Diddly podcast.
Yeah, Ding Dong Diddly.
Oh.
Yeah, that one The Simpsons came up with, so that one's probably not available. Somebody probably has that one.
Well, and taking it would probably be a copyright violation.
Everything's a copyright violation.
Yeah, including the Dungeons and Dragons parts of Demented Dungeons and Dragons. So it's a joke. It's a spoof, not.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, we're not infringing on the whatever trademark for having the .com. We just, and actually, I don't think we're infringing on the trademark to have Demented Dungeons and Dragons. We just can't have Dungeons and Dragons, and we can't use, like, their logos or anything like that and claim them as their own. So, but, trademarks are weird. But,
Hey, wait a minute. I thought that's the one thing we don't talk about is Dungeons and Dragons.
Right.
Cut it out.
Shut up, stupid. You idiot! Okay, so. Yeah, that's an inside joke, people. Yeah, I was leaving the property before we had our driveway. We had to drive.
Well, if you tell them, it won't be an inside joke anymore.
Okay, fine.
Cliffhanger, people. You might find out in 2 years if you listen faithfully.
Oh, yeah. Who would want to listen to us faithfully?
One of the Davids might.
Somebody else as demented as us, right?
Oh, my.
Yeah. So let's see how long we've been talking. 1 hour and 18 minutes.
Yes. Yes.
So back on topic. Back on topic, so we can wrap this up, I guess.
Okay.
CES, Community Exchange System. Basically, Community Exchange System is worldwide. Everybody's using, not everybody. People are using it all over the world. Right now, there's only like 3 or 4 people in our area that's using it. But we're like an hour from Springfield, Missouri. And
there is one set up in Springfield.
There is. And there are people active in the community using it in Springfield. So, because there's not really enough people using it in our area, we're promoting it as a means of exchange for our land and our property, our products and services, to encourage other people to sign up. So once we're actually selling stuff, because right now we're still working on putting up fencing and building our road, we still got to drill for water and put up infrastructure. But once we start selling product, and, you know, as we're offering our services, because David Ray does work around the community,
right,
we get people signed up, say, hey, you don't have to pay us in Federal Reserve notes. You can pay us in CES credits. And then people will sign up. And then they'll be like, oh, once we get enough people signing up, because they don't have to spend their fiat debt currency money, they can spend this new currency, not really currency, this new means of exchange to pay us, and then everybody will be, not everybody, but eventually there'll be enough people signed up and enough people talking about it to where other people will start using it besides just using it with us.
Yeah, there's that critical mass I was talking about.
Right. So right now our critical mass is 4. Well,
yeah,
no,
we
haven't
even said
yet. It's 3 because I haven't officially got signed up yet. I signed up, but I haven't been processed.
You haven't been processed. And that's why the local guy who, our friend, would actually like me to take over. The only reason he hasn't passed it to me is because I do not have a consistent internet connection, which CES requires. And some of the other systems don't require that. And that's what I was supposed to talk to, about today, is some of the other supporting systems. Actually, our friend is working on a means of writing checks based on CES that an administrator would process later, all right, but they wouldn't have to immediately go into a computer, all right? And so people would be able to exchange CES even if they didn't have a computer. To be honest, the way community exchange system works, you kind of have to have a computer because you have to be able to look up what's this person's credit rating. Can I really justify selling them something that's going to cost 1,000 credits? Are they going to be able to pay it back in a reasonable amount of time? You know, and if the answer is no, or if the person you're looking at has been receiving and receiving and receiving, and they've got a negative balance of 10,000 credits, and they haven't done anything, you might not consider them a good investment for the community. And so you might not want to sell them anything. Right? So, you know, the purpose of this is to build up the community, not for somebody to sit on their butt and get freebies. So.
Right.
You know. And on the other end of the scale, you might notice that there's somebody in your community who's been building up a lot of CES credit and not spending it. And you might want to talk to them and say, is there nothing that you want? Is there a problem with resources? You know, you might create for them a shopping list and see who in the community can provide that so that they can spend their credits and get this person taken care of.
Yeah, but what if they're saving them up for retirement?
Yeah. To be honest, CES is not really a place where you store a place of, you know, it's not meant for store of value. I mean, you could do that, but, you know, to be honest, everybody can contribute something to society, you know, to their community. Even if you're like Lola, 98, all right? Lola sprouted a whole bunch of tomato seeds starting about a week and a half ago. And I was over at her place helping her transplant them into bigger pots, all right? So she's still got skills that she can pass on. If nothing else, you could teach others how to do that and get credited for teaching them.
Right. That's what I was mostly thinking. The elders would make the would be the best teachers in the community.
Like, holy smokes. Old people's minds actually become valuable? I can't imagine it.
Yeah, before they lose it.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, nowadays, you know, we expect people to be retired and do nothing. And, you know, it's like, that's stupid. That's a wasted resource, you know. And quite frankly, I don't know of any older person I've met that didn't enjoy telling you what they were good at and giving you advice on how to do it.
Telling you where to go and how to get there.
Yes, exactly. uh, Oh, my. Oh.
Yeah.
What a wonderful world we live in.
Yep, yep, yep.
And actually, we do. We do. We live in a wonderful world. The problem is, the powers that be would like to hide that fact from you and get you to stick in their system where they have complete and total control of everything you do, and you don't even know you're being manipulated. You've been manipulated so much.
Right.
So, anyway.
Anyway.
Yeah, I wish we had a caller so they could answer my question.
What's your question?
Covered the subject? My question is, have we covered the subject thoroughly? So, probably not, but there's plenty to be digested.
Digest this. Watto shinuna mai wa.
Whatever.
Hanagai's
muscle. No, yeah, okay, whatever to that one.
All right. So, yeah, CES, look it up at, you know, well, oh, hang on. I can look it up right now. I have it on my computer. CES is community-exchange.org.
There you go.
And then there is Ubuntu, which I don't have that one memorized, or whatever. Ubuntu.
Yeah, for those of you who use Linux, it's spelled the same as that Linux, which I thought was funny.
Yeah, okay, Ubuntu. If you Google Ubuntu, you won't find it right away. You have to actually do some searching. You can find it through typing in Ubuntu Party, P-A-R-T-Y, or Ubuntu Community. But it's spelled
nice.
U-B-U-N-T-U. And, of course, David Ray and I are going to be looking for the local name that means the same thing as Ubuntu, which would probably end up being a Native American name because...
Right.
Yeah. So, you might have to look at, I think it's this one, Ubuntu Planet. .org. I'm looking. Hang on a second. Yes. Okay. Ubuntu is under UbuntuPlanet.org. U-B-U-N-T-U. Planet.org. And that'll give you some ideas on the Ubuntu philosophy, which is very similar to the CES philosophy. The CES philosophy basically works towards the Ubuntu philosophy. So CES is like a stepping stone towards Ubuntu. And there's a lot of hippies that have had this philosophy for many moons. And they basically, you know, don't accept they don't have, like, price ranges or anything like that. They just give their services to the community, and they accept a lot of offerings, whether it's food, whether it's money, whether it's, you know, other products or services. They just give their stuff freely, and then people get back to them, you know, what they need. Like David Ray, a lot of times will offer his services for love offerings, but he will also include that he needs gas money. So
yes, I do mention that from time to time, but there's been a case already where I've refused. I've turned down offering based on the fact that I didn't think the person was confident to give an offering. You know,
right, because she's partly senile, and she was giving more, way more than.
Yeah, I did 15 minutes worth of work for her. She offered me $5. That was okay. That works out to about $20 an hour. But when she went to go to get her checkbook for a $5 offering, she said, "What was that amount? 24?" And I was like, "You know, never mind. Just catch up with me later."
Right.
Yeah. And to be honest, at this point, I want to meet her family because I'm kind of afraid that I might be getting in the way of their needs, you know, the way they're handling things. And the last thing I want to do is be eating up her funds when she should be spending them on something else.
Right, but you actually have, I mean, you're trying to not take advantage of somebody where other people might take advantage of that. But,
right.
You know, yeah, the whole love offering thing, you know, he's working for love offerings with the minimum of the fact that he needs gas money. And
right.
So if somebody's cognitive enough to be able to understand the concept of that, it works great. But if they're senile...
I can't fill the gas tank. I can't stay at the local gas station with hugs. But I'll
right.
accept hugs for my labor, you know?
Right.
But, yeah, for the most part, people do pay me, you know, what would be considered a reasonable living wage, you know, for the most part. Some people, they don't even consider what they're giving me as part of the offering. I've got a neighbor who actually feeds me on a regular basis, and, you know, if I could show up on their door anytime and literally take advantage of them because they would feed me 3 times a day, and I wouldn't have to do anything, you know. But, you know, I make sure that I meet their needs as well, and actually they kind of like that, and it's kind of like we're family. You know, I don't know if they'd say that, but to me it seems like we're kind of family because, you know, we're taking care of each other, and there's, it actually falls under the Ubuntu category because, hey, this guy needs to be fed. We're going to feed him. And I go, hey, these people need to have their some basic chores done around the house, so I'm going to do them. So,
that's it. Well, friends helping friends, like family helping family.
Yeah.
Community helping the community. Everybody's coming together.
Right. And, you know, your favorite party, you know, this Ubuntu, is ultimately what something like a community exchange system would lead to. Because, you know, after a while, you get to know somebody well enough. You know that they're going to take care of you and you're taking care of them and vice versa. You know, eventually you say, you know, let's not bother with entering the credits and stuff. You know, there's no need. We already know we're
right.
going to do it.
But,
you know.
And also, you know, kind of like, well, me, you know, I have a job that pays me, you know, X amount of dollars, blah, blah, blah. And I have products and services that I offer. Then every once in a while when I'm in town, I go and help somebody else. For whatever, you know, they're doing, whatever you're doing for them. And I don't even ask for any kind of means of exchange or anything. I'm just going to help, you know.
Well, actually, the last time you got compensated, she counted, you counted your labor off against that camper that you decided to donate as the kitchen to our property.
Right.
So yeah.
So, yeah,
but that was meant to be your bedroom.
It was gonna be my house, but we needed a kitchen, so we turned it into the kitchen. But so I just went over to help, period. And neither one of us said anything about having that credit added to, you know, the purchase or whatever, what we were bartering for.
Right.
She just went ahead
and she didn't even ask me if she should. She just did it. She just,
right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, when I'm in town and David's helping somebody and I'm available, I just help. Because I don't really, I mean, I could use the money, but I don't really need the money. So I just go and help just because. And I don't expect anything out of it, really, most of the time. So, I mean, that's the way the Ubuntu philosophy is supposed to work. Everybody just comes together and helps each other.
Right.
So, yeah, we'll be working on finding the English or the North American name for the same concept.
Right.
We'll just create our own.
Well, I think a good place to start would be with the Osage tribes, because we are, quote-unquote, in Osage country. We are on, don't really know how they call it a plateau, because it's far from flat. But we're on the Ozark Plateau, which is about as hilly and mountainous as you can get without actually being a mountain. here we are. There's got to be somebody local who has a similar philosophy, and they call it by a different name. You know, But it is what it is. We're just looking for an appropriate name that would be accepted locally.
Yeah. I'm Googling what is the Native American name for Ubuntu, but anyway. All right. Yeah. I guess that's about it. No?
Yep.
Yep. Oh, yeah. No, I was going to say, Cloudpiler, when I get in town, or maybe this summer when it gets warmer, we really need to go spend some more time with Cloudpiler and getting indoctrinated into what he's doing as well.
This is true. We should look into him more seriously and such.
Yeah, every time I'm in town, we're just so busy, we never get a chance to get over there.
Right. What is Cloudpiler's tribe called?
Oh, it's the Nimina tribe. I don't recall the American name for the tribe. I think it's Comanche.
Right, but
look up
Nimina, okay, and then look up Cloudpiler in association with Nimina, and I actually know that will bring something up on a Google search. I've done that before.
Yeah, he's got Facebook and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yes, Nimina is the Comanche Nation.
Okay.
But that's what they call themselves. The Comanche call themselves Nimina, where Comanche is the American translation for Nimina.
Right, and what I'm saying is spell out Nimina so people can...
Oh, now you're killing me.
Well, you closed it already?
I'm just playing.
Terrible.
You're killing me.
Man. making your life difficult.
Yeah, ding dong dilly. This is not right. Okay, hang on. Let me go to Facebook, because I know I like them, and I joined their page and everything, so. Facebook.
Yes, the one podcast where we do all of our research on the fly. Nothing done ahead of time.
Yeah,
we are
right?
Not professionals. And actually, no, we're not professionals.
We're professionally
spotty at best.
Professionally demented.
Yes, before we end this podcast, though, we will have the spelling for Nemanov for you.
Yes, okay, here we go. It is spelled N-E-M-E-N-H-A-H. Okay.
Nemanov.
Nemanov. Nancy, Echo, Mary, Echo, Nancy, Hotel, Alpha Hotel.
Right. And as the poor lady at MHA said, was he speaking dirty to me? No, that's called the phonetic alphabet. He takes the first letter of those words, and that's what he was trying to spell.
Oh, yeah, that's crazy. I know, because she wanted me to spell my last name, and she couldn't understand me on the phone, so I started doing it phonetically. And I was like, Oscar Delta, Oscar Universe. And she's like, what?
I can't write all that down.
Yeah. And the funny thing is it weirded her out, right? But if she knew who I was, the time I was in there beforehand, I think she was flirting with me. So.
Well, she might have known who you were and wanted you to talk dirty to her.
Yeah.
All right.
So Nemanov.
So now that we've explained that, spell it phonetically one more time and then pronounce it.
Okay, phonetically it is Nancy, Echo, Mary, Echo, Nancy, Hotel, Alpha, Hotel, Nemana.
Right. Wow, that was slow. I almost fell asleep while you spelled it.
Yeah, N-E-M-E-N-H-A-H, Nemana. So,
right.
Good luck Googling it, but you can find it on Facebook pretty quick and easy. You could probably Google it, too, I'm sure. I'm Googling it right now. Yeah, Nemanov.org.
Yeah, the Nemanov that Claude Tyler is part of is a religion based on doing healthy stuff.
Well, that's his niche. He's focusing on doing a lot of, he does a lot of things, but he's part of the Nemanov tribe. And, one of the main things that he does is he, through the Nemanov tribe, they have a religious protection thingy to protect their medicine men, you know?
Right.
People like us who practice God's medicine, who are under threat by the New World Order. And, because the New World Order wants to promote pharmaceuticals and sick care with communist care and also the garbage to make people sick, not to actually cure people and help people be healthy and, you know, whatever.
Right.
They want to make people sick and dependent on their system.
Yeah, it's not so much healthcare as in sick management.
Sick management, there you go. The Nimina tribe have a program to protect their medicine men, and it works. And so I plan on joining that program. Even though I'm probably, you know, I'm probably too ADD to be considered a medicine man or doctor or whatever, because I just, you know, I don't focus on one thing. I don't have my one niche. Like, some people can just focus on one niche and they can do that one thing and be a professional in that one department. I'm like a jack of all trades, master of a couple, maybe. Master of few. But, you know, between David, you know, between the three of us and our intellect, you know, we can pretty much constitute being at the level of one medicine man who is strictly devoted to being a medicine man.
All right.
So, yeah. So there you go.
There you
go. Check out those three locations, nimina.org, community-exchange.org, and ubuntuplanet.org.
All righty.
And then after you check those out, go to our website, daviddavidanddavid.com, where you will find two of those things and probably three, because I'm going to add Nimina to our website too. So if you can't remember all that stuff, just go to daviddavidanddavid.com. That's pretty easy to remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, we're at 1 minute and 48 seconds. I mean,
1 minute and 48 seconds? Wow, that was a short podcast.
1 hour and 48 minutes. So, yeah.
Oh, we can't end on an odd minute.
So, yeah, you can listen to this podcast, past podcasts, and future podcasts at DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com, where we talk about everything but Dementions and Dungeons. I mean, yeah. No. Yeah, I messed that up, didn't I?
You're just so twisted.
We're retarded. It's okay. We're just retarded. We rode the short bus.
My brain hurts.
If I only had a brain. You idiot!
You want to come out.
Alrighty.
You got to take it out.
Alright, well, I'm going to call my friend and see if he's going to show up or not or whatever and whatever. And yeah.
Alright. So I'll talk to you later. Talk to all of you next week, 6:30.
Yeah.
Every
Friday
afternoon, evening.
At 6:30 in the evening, Central Standard Time, and soon we're probably going to push it back to 7. Let's see, January. Okay, well, we should probably figure this out real quick, okay? In the summer, we want to push it back, right? But then in the winter, we're going to push it forward again.
Yeah, I don't know. We should probably pick some time that we do it Friday, like 9 o'clock, and stick it there so people don't get confused.
Right, but some people go to bed at like 8 or 9 o'clock.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I typically go to bed at sunset, and that's part of the reason why we started this at 6:30, because it pretty well guaranteed I was free. Yeah, people are keeping me up late at night.
Yeah.
That's like, all right. I'm not supposed to do anything on Saturday anyway, so.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath. Yeah, they already started.
Okay. So, yeah. So, basically, at the beginning of Sabbath, every Friday, be prepared for our podcast. And it may change because the time that the sun goes down every week changes, but basically it'll be just after sunset every week, or every Friday.
Right.
Every
Sabbath. We'll warn you ahead of time because, you know, we're just kind of that way, I guess.
Right. So I'm thinking about March, January, and February, we'll stick to this 6:30. And then in March, we can go to 7 o'clock. What do you think?
Sounds good.
Okay. So we'll be winging it. So come March, we'll be at 7 o'clock. But till then, February is coming up. So the whole month of February, we'll continue doing 6:30. You can always call in at 7 because our podcasts typically go for about 2 hours, even though we say it's an hour.
It's at least an hour.
It's at least an hour. So you can call in late. It's no biggie. All right, cool.
Almost 3. Matter of fact, the next time we go past 3, I'm going to hang up. I'll leave.
Yeah,
ain't
no
hanging.
We're not going past 2. We're at 1 hour and 52 minutes now. So hasta la vista, sucka.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right. Talk to you later. Party on.
All right.
All right, bye.
Good night, folks.
Good night. See dreams.